Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmans NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus. I'm Rick Rickma.
And I'm Ian Arnold, and we are the hard working mortgage guys with Advisors Mortgage Group. And to reach us, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Today, we have a fantastic guru with us, April Reem Snyder. She'll correct me because I'm not very good with that. But she is with Property Divas, and that is also with Carpenter Realtors.
Yes.
And welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here today.
All right. So I know I butchered the name. So can you do it for everybody?
Yes. April Reem Snyder.
And how would they get a hold of you, April, if they have any property questions?
Probably the best way to reach me is through my phone, so 317-474-0937.
Perfect.
Yep.
And, you know, we love to start these with, you know, really find out and hear about your story. So how did you get into real estate? It's usually one of the better stories that we hear.
Yeah. Well, I had been working at Franklin College. And I'd been there for about 12 years. And I was just telling Ian earlier, I was in a group called Leadership Johnson County. And that group within that class, they call it, there's like 30-some people usually. And within that class, there's usually a smaller group where you do a project. I had met Joby Trefney, who is also a Carpenter Realtor. And she and I hit it off, and we've stayed in contact. And when I was starting to kind of shift things and think I need to look for another job somewhere else other than Franklin, I reached out to Joby to get a reference, and she said, you know, maybe you should think about real estate. So we chatted, and all was history from that point on.
Well, you know, it's awesome, too, because we had a deal together, mm-hmm. and – you did a phenomenal job.
Oh, thank you.
And it's really, you know, it's how one of the ways we have people on the show is mm-hmm. because we want gurus, people that are really good at what they do. And sometimes that takes years to do. Sometimes it doesn't. Some people, it just works into their personality and they're just brilliant at it right up front. And I think you've been in it a while, but I think you're that way. You probably learned some, but you just have the right personality. I think it sounds like you love the job.
I do. And you know, it really is a people person type job. I mean, I have learned through Leadership Johnson County, I learned so much about how people talk and interact with each other, and that has helped me immensely in this position because I kind of key into someone that's more analytical versus the touchy-feely. I'm probably more the touchy-feely. Yeah. So, you know, I have found that to be very, very helpful, and it's helped me really connect with my clients.
So did she help train you when you decided this is what you wanted to do, or how did you learn the process of everything?
She was always there if I ever had a question, but through Carpenter, you know, they have various training programs and classes to take, so it was really through that. But no, she's always been a huge support. And like we were chatting earlier too, you know, everyone's always willing to help and guide each other. And everyone wants each other to be successful. And that, I think that's cool that everyone is open to that.
Well, I think the other thing that a lot of times people don't say is realtors actually have to work with each other.
Right.
Quite a bit. So
absolutely.
It's you don't want to make enemies. And
no.
Then if you can have somebody and they know how you work, it's so much easier. And if they work the same, it's all right. Now the seller agent and then the buyer's agent. All right. How can we get this deal done together?
Absolutely.
And working together is better than, hey, I don't like this guy sort of deals.
Yeah. I mean, to me, getting my clients to the closing table as smoothly as possible is one of my biggest goals. And if I can't work with that other agent or I can't connect with my clients, it's not helping anybody. So yeah, being in tune with each other is a big deal with real estate.
Yeah, you really have, it's a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's a team effort for everybody involved, the title company, the lenders, the listing agent, the selling agent, everybody. It works best when everybody works together. Sometimes you get people that don't want to, like a one side that doesn't want to work together.
Right.
And that's a tough situation on everybody else
right.
when that happens.
Absolutely.
But for the most part, most people see it as a team effort. Now you're with Carpenter, but then you have a team that you call
Property Divas. Yeah, yeah. There was another agent in the Carpenter office that started about a year after I did. And she and I were very similar in personalities, had a lot of similar past experiences. And it just kind of made sense to kind of join forces and be a team together. And we're really looking forward to some great things in 2023. And it's been a fun journey so far. So,
yeah, that's and so Property Divas, is there like, what is it? I'm sure it means something. There has to be something behind the name a little bit.
just brainstorming between the two of us. I mean, for us, Property Divas is, you know, when you want to be the best, you want to come to us because we're the divas. You know, if divas
right.
means, I think if Patti LaBelle has a quote that says, if diva means the best, then that's what I want to be. I want to be a diva. So that's kind of where that all generated from.
It's awesome. I've found that I'm not usually very good at naming things. So when I hear a great name, and as I told you, I have a coach and he was telling me and he saw the name. He goes, that's brilliant. He loved the name. He thought it was a brilliant name. And I know that, I think that you guys live that you're really striving to be top of the game.
Absolutely.
The best of the best.
Absolutely. Like I said, customer service is huge for both of us. She was in the hotel industry, or not hotel, event management industry, same as I was. So we both have that service mentality. And again, we want to do the best for our clients and we are going to achieve that, hopefully, even more so in 2023. Yeah, so,
that's awesome. So I think I read you were or are a decorator?
I do. It's probably more on the just personal side, just with friends and family. I've done decorating for them. My mom was very much in tune with that for years. And I've kind of inherited that, I think, from her. Very artistic, so I like that creative side of things. I think being a decorator or having that flair helps my clients, too. When we're staging a home,
right.
I can say, yeah, let's get rid of this or let's move that over here. It makes the room look bigger. Those sort of things that I can, again, hopefully give my clients the best quality in a realtor as I can by
right.
having that experience.
Well, that's why I brought it up. I think that's a huge quality because it's an important piece of listing a property.
Yeah. When you walk in that door and you're like, oh my, there's no room to move, that automatically you have that, oh, well, is this going to be the right house for me? So yeah, opening the room up, making the space as big as you can, putting things away. I even tell my clients, you know, you're going to be moving. So go ahead and pack it up. Get it
right.
out of here. You don't have to have all of it sitting out right now. Minimal stuff, you know.
We get used to it.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's the problem.
Yes, we're blind to it.
Yeah,
yes.
We get used to it.
Yeah.
I spent 11 years in new home sales, worked for a builder, and I think it's just like that. It's if you think about it, why does a builder spend thousands and thousands of dollars decorating a model? Because people can't see what it, most people, you can't because you're a decorator, you have that eye. Me, I doubt Ian,
no.
We can't see it.
Right.
So we walk in and we see what we see. So when I sold new homes, guess what everybody wanted? They wanted exactly what they
right.
saw, the same colors. I mean, and you really had to work to get them to do some variety because you don't want every house to look the same.
Right, right.
But most people can't see past, oh, I love this, that's what I want.
Yep, absolutely.
And so decorating matters.
I agree. Yeah. You know, again, it helps me give that edge to my clients so that they are going to hopefully be a step ahead of someone else that's got their house listed at that time. You know, anything you can do to help your clients get to the closing table, get what they need out of that transaction is what you want.
And then when she sells to, and when you buy a house from her, she'll tell you how to decorate your home.
Yeah, well, absolutely. When I'm walking around with buyers, you know, I'm like, oh, you know what? If you took this out, you could do this. Or if you rearrange this room this way, you would have more room for the play area or whatever that's. And I try and stay in tune with my clients, too, to know what it is that's really that drive for them. Is it an office space? Is it something for the kids? Whatever that piece might be, I want to know it and be aware of it.
Yeah, there's a show on HGTV or one of those that I've watched, and it fascinates me because they take the couple or whoever, person or whoever, to three or four houses, which, you know, it's a little unrealistic, of course,
right.
But but they have drawings of what the house can look like.
Yeah.
And they draw what the house inside can look like so that they can do what you said. They can go in and they can say, oh, I don't like this. Well, would you like, you know, this isn't how they do it, but would it look better like this? This is my idea. And it's mm-hmm. like, you see the drawing, you go, wow, I want that.
Right, absolutely.
You know, so, but of course, theirs is they fix it up. He does the fix up and all that. But it is something that matters. And I think it's very interesting when somebody like you can see it and then you can help them know what to do and how to put it all together. But I want to get off real estate just for a second, because I read, and I've been a scuba diver since I was 16. And I read you're a big scuba diver.
I am. And actually, we just got back from Costa Rica
awesome.
This past Saturday and did some diving down there. Visibility wasn't super great,
no.
But we did see white-tipped shark.
Oh, wow.
We saw a devil ray. We saw tons of fish and eel, huge moray eel. It was something I never thought I would do when I met my husband and we decided we were going to get married. He was like, you know, I would really love it if you could get your certification so that when we go on vacations, our honeymoon, we'll be able to go diving together. And I was like, all right. So I took the certification class and I was kind of surprised at first. They're like, okay, if you do this, you'll die. If you do this, you'll die. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought this was supposed to be fun.
Don't do
but,
that.
But yeah, don't do it. Don't go all the way up to the top after you've been at the bottom. So, but it's, gosh, it's a whole nother world down there. It is so amazing. I think one of my favorite dives that we went on was in Nevis St. Kitts. And beautiful. And it was my first time realizing how brilliant the coral is. You know, I dove in Florida and other places where it has died off in places. But gosh, you know, you go to the stores and you see the orange and the pink coral that you can put in your aquarium. And I always thought, oh, that looks so fake. That's not even real. But it is.
It is.
It's just like that. It's so pretty.
But you don't tend to see it that way in real. A lot of you just don't have enough light. You know, even in some of these areas, if you don't have, like you said, visibility, you get 20, 30 feet down and there's still not enough light.
Mm-mm.
We were in a submarine. I always wanted to do a submarine, and we were in, I don't know, Hawaii or somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
They had a submarine and you could go down in it. And so it was for tourists.
Yeah.
And they showed us as you went down, they had this red rag and how it changed colors until it was black.
Yeah.
And then they said they turned a flashlight on it. It was still red, but the light went away. And
isn't that crazy?
Changes
yeah.
the color. Yes. We're running up against break. So after the break, we will talk more with April and find out more about her real estate business.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
All right. Hey, welcome back from the break. We are here with April and everything. But before we do anything else, we do have question of the week.
Ooh.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
Thank you. The Question of the Week is brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group, where we fit your mortgage needs to fit you. Contact us today. Get your free mortgage plan. Go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And if you're looking for that perfect house or looking to sell your house, you would want you to contact April. And how would you get a hold of her?
You can reach me at 317-474-0937.
All right. So here's the hardest question we'll ask.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
What was your first car?
My first car was a Mercury Capri. It was a little hatchback, 5-speed. And actually, almost every car I've had has been a manual car. Wow. Yeah. I think awesome. I maybe have only had two cars.
Okay. So now I have to ask a question. What manual are you driving nowadays?
I have a Saab. 9.3, I think it is.
Okay, yeah.
So it's 5-speed, too. I have a convertible Saab that's a 6-speed, and it really throws me because the reverse is in a different position than the one I have that I drive normally. So I'm always afraid I'm going to put it in reverse and go forward.
Well, luckily, what happens is most people don't realize is there's actually a little lever there that will not allow you to switch it over.
Except for in a Saab.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It automatically does it for you.
Now, Rick and I are big car guys, so that we think that's a very good question to ask every single agent. So it's actually kind of fun.
I will tell you, when I first started learning to drive, my dad had given me the Mercury Capri to have. And then he had already acquired a Lamborghini. And I thought, oh, for sure, I'm going to have a chance to drive the Lamborghini. Well, he ended up selling it before I had an opportunity to drive it.
Really?
But, yeah.
That was not nice of
him. I know, right? it would have been pretty cool. But
yeah.
All right. So going back, because you were talking about scuba diving and everything. And
yes.
My son has a history. He's 7 years old, but he loves the History Channel like it's Cartoon Network. but there's a show called Bermuda. And what they do is they dive down and they talk about, they go look for shipwrecks and try to identify them. So cool. He's gotten really into that. And I had to explain to him about the gases, that when you're down that low, they can only spend like 15 minutes. And as they're coming up, he goes, well, they could just come right back up. I'm like, no, it takes them. And then they said it later. I go, it takes them a few hours. I go, you go down like 600-700 feet. Guess what? It's going to take you hours to come up.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize it. And then later on, they said that. And he's like, oh. Because your body has to decompress all that oxygen, carbon dioxide. It has to get all changed out.
That goes back to that. If you do this, you'll die. Yeah, period.
Exactly. Yeah. She says it best. If you do this, you'll die. Okay.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, I love to dive, but 600-700 feet. Wow. I have no desire to go to 600-700 feet.
I can't
imagine
you would even see much. You'd definitely have to have lights and different things like that. You wouldn't be able to stay for very long either. It'd be a matter of go down, you're up.
15 minutes is what they spend down on the ground. And then they'll actually show the countdown timer going. And they're like, 15 minutes up. We got to start coming back up. But it's just crazy.
And they use special air and everything up there. And using just normal air.
I think 100 feet is probably the furthest I've ever been. Usually most dives are around 60.
Right.
But yeah, it is definitely a whole nother world down there. I am apprehensive when I first go down. That first dive is usually the hardest one to get your breathing and realize that you're breathing underwater. But yeah, it's a cool experience.
Yeah, it is. It's such a cool place. I mean, it's just different than what we're used to. And
yeah.
It's like you're flying.
Oh, yeah. You know? Just floating around down there.
It's awesome. So we'll get back to business, I guess.
Oh, gosh.
So what are the two resources that make you think, man, if it weren't for these two things, I wouldn't be here today?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough question. You know, again, I go back to Leadership Johnson County. I think it was a great program to help me really discern how people interact with each other. And I feel like I already knew it, but it was brought more to the forefront through that program, doing the Myers-Briggs and all of that. Gosh, my other resource.
We don't have to have two, but you probably do.
Yeah, you know, I think my parents having a good work ethic was huge to me, and that showed me that if you put in the time, that you'll succeed and you'll do the things that you want to do. My dad was very business-minded in a creative way, and he did some things throughout his career that you see, and you see the outcome of it, and I wanted to emulate that in a way. So yeah, I awesome. Think having that connection to my parents and knowing that that work ethic is important, that that's helped me be who I am.
Yeah, it is.
So what's your favorite part about being a realtor?
Oh, gosh. You know, getting to know all the clients that I've had up to this point has been phenomenal. I, you know, there's always a couple that you're like, okay, I'm glad this transaction is over, and I probably shouldn't say that out loud. But, you know, not everybody gets along with each other. But for the most part, I have just absolutely loved all of my clients. And some of them have become friends, and that is great. I can't imagine any other job where I would really have that opportunity. When I worked at Franklin College and doing event management, I had those connections with people, but it wasn't in such a personal way. You know, buying a home is a personal thing, and it's a huge deal. I mean, sometimes people only do it one time in their lifetime, and so to be a part of that is exciting.
Yep. Well, as you were saying, that sometimes you butt heads with people, or it's not the easiest transaction. But then there's the other times when you close a deal, and it's that first time that somebody's probably owned a home in their whole entire family. Their mom and dad never owned a home. And Rick and I've seen it quite a bit, is people or go out to their car and they'll just start crying.
Yes.
And it's not crying because, it's the joy that they never thought they would be there. And yes. I think those are the ones that hit me the strongest.
Yes. I actually, my most recent closing was very similar to that. The young gal, she, during the very, well, towards the end of the transaction, she said, "I'm sorry that I'm crying." And we didn't even realize that she was. She was just kind of sitting there. And all of a sudden we look over and she's got tears in her eyes. She was, "This is just a really big step for our family." And I just teared up too. And there were others that were crying. It was just very emotional. And I just love that I can be a part of that. Yeah.
But you know, you'd said sometimes, some customers, it can be a little bit more difficult. But you know, the reality is, I think, that as a real estate agent, you have to stay above the emotions.
True.
And so that you can guide them correctly. And sometimes that creates a little bit of friction, especially as an example, you say somebody has a you have a listing and the appraisal comes back and it comes in lower, inspection comes in and it needs work, and they get emotional about it. You know, that appraisal's not right. It's, you know, my house is worth more, da 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 da. But the reality is that this is a professional person who's highly trained, who, can they be wrong? Yes. But what's the likelihood of them being wrong over you live in the house and you believe it's worth a certain amount of money? Right.
Right.
I mean, I know for me, I tend to, you know, overestimate what my car's worth, my house, because I like them. You know, I like them. So, and you have to be the one who kind of keeps everything moving and keep them on the ultimate goal that they have, which is, if they're selling the house, close on the house.
Right.
And at the best dollar they possibly can.
Right. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, gosh. And again, I feel like it goes back to that personal piece. You know, when you're selling your home, it's your home, and right. you have that personal connection. And it is hard to separate your feelings sometimes from that. But yeah, trying to guide them through it, help them understand that, you know, it's not an attack on you, or, you know, it's not something that's coming at you personally. It's just business, in a sense. And trying to show the pluses and minuses of something. I don't want to just harp on the negatives with my client, or just say, well, this is how it is. Hopefully we can come to a better point in this situation, even if it's not quite what they had hoped for.
Right. You have to keep everything going in the right direction, and it's our job to help them. Like I've had clients, I've had to, you know, they didn't necessarily like it because of, you know, credit comes in different or something like that, but you have to walk them through, and it's our job to help them make the proper decision for them. Usually, if you understand what they want, I mean, that's what you're after, but it's really up to them, and our job is just to help them do that. And sometimes through that process, they're not happy. But I've found, and I bet you have, is at the end, and it's all said and done, they're happy.
Right.
They like you. They're happy, and they're glad that you walked them through and you took them through that process.
Right, right. Yeah, it. I've had one gal in particular. She's like, I felt like at one point I was going to step off the ledge, but you helped bring me back in and explain how the process was going to work. So a lot of times it's just their uncertainty or not knowing really what is happening. And if you can explain it,
right,
then that helps them, you know, ease their mind.
So how is that first, and this will tie into there, how is that first meeting with a client, whether they're buying or selling, how important is that?
Oh, I think it's critical, because if I don't know what their end goal is, then how am I going to help them get there, you know? And again, like I said before, too, I mean, I want to know, what are those hot buttons for them? Is it they're changing from an apartment to a home and now they need extra space for the kiddos? Is it they're downsizing and they want to be in a certain area? I mean, all those pieces are important to the puzzle, and if I don't make that connection with the client, then I'm not doing them any service. So,
right. You have to ask questions, and you have to know. I've been trained when I was selling new homes, we used the system, and it was, those questions are, you know, they're the situation questions, and they know the situation, but you don't. So you got to ask them, because you got to know their situation, and you have to understand, like you said, where they want to go. So what is the ultimate goal? Because that's the only way to walk through everything. And when things come up, you can, you know, well, I understand, but here's your ultimate goal. How does this affect that?
Right. And how are we going to get there?
Yeah. And how do we get there? Mm-hmm. Exactly. But this is changing subjects a little bit. Well, what key activities would you recommend a realtor invest their time in?
You know, with the age of technology right now, I think podcasts are huge to be able to get those inspirational pieces, education. That carving out time to do that is important. For me, it's kind of weird because I've shifted from being in an office setting, and I've always been behind a desk, and that's where I'm supposed to be. And if I'm up and away from my desk, it looks like I'm not working or, you know, what is she doing? So now it's like I'm getting paid to socialize with people and be out and about. And so for me, it's a different perspective. So having that time set aside to do that education piece or listening to someone and inspirational speaking is another one that's outside of my norm, and I am embracing it more and more as I've moving through my career in real estate.